Hello and welcome to the Burnout Proof Your Biz podcast. On today's episode, I'm talking with Stephanie Lugo. She's a real estate agent, house flipper, and educator in the Phoenix area, and she absolutely loves helping real estate professionals create a scalable, sustainable business based on easy-to-maneuver systems and workflows. Could she be any more of a perfect fit for this podcast? She loves focusing on long-term solutions that not only allow her to be more productive, but also grow with her and her businesses. Yes, businesses. So in today's episode, Stephanie is sharing a ton of information with us all about creating those sustainable business systems by playing the long game. That means looking for solutions and systems that not only work right now, but also are going to grow with you and help you serve more clients down the road. So let's dive in. Today's episode of the Burnout Proof Your Biz podcast is brought to you by the Empowered Boss Lab Academy. The Empowered Boss Lab Academy is for any entrepreneurs that are feeling a little bit overwhelmed and are ready to finally take control of their systems and organization. If this sounds like you, head on over to theempoweredbosslab.com to find out more information. Welcome to the Burnout Proof Your Biz podcast, where we explore how you can give yourself permission to run your business and live your dream life on your own terms. You started your business to have more freedom. Let's help you find it. I'm your host, Chelsea B. Foster. Let's dive into today's topic. All right, so today I am here with Stephanie, and she is a real estate agent, house flipper, and course creator in the Phoenix area, and I am just so excited to talk to her, find out all about her systems, because she is using her systems to maximize her business, to scale her business, and to do real estate her own way. So welcome, Stephanie.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, thanks for being on here. I know I've been following you forever on, well, not forever, but for a few weeks on Instagram, and I am just absolutely in love with everything that you do, like all of it.
I want you to
landscape my backyard for me.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we love sharing our stuff on Instagram. I think it's so amazing to not only like be able to like cultivate your community around your business, but then to be able to like get that far reach with Instagram and social media is such a blessing. So I'm so glad that we're able to connect on there.
Yeah. All right. So before we get too far into our conversation, go ahead and share just a little bit about you and your business. What it is that you do, who you talk to, that.
Yeah. Okay. So in 2014, my now husband and I had been dating for a while and we had careers in corporate finance and things are going great. And one day he just came home with a real estate textbook for real estate classes and he throws it down on the couch and he goes, babe, I know what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I was like, oh, okay. So he had decided that, you know, for a long time, he had this interest in getting into real estate, starting his own business. And I was kind of thinking along those lines too. And we just decided that the time was then, you know, we had, you know, a mortgage and car payment and stuff, but we didn't have kids. Things were pretty easy. We decided that if we were going to take a risk and start our own business, that was the time. So we did classes at night at a community college after our work days.
Oh my gosh, and, I love it.
Oh my gosh, it was so crazy. It was 3 hours, 3 days a week. So it was like 9 hour weeks of classes. It was pretty strenuous. Gosh. But we passed with our licenses right before Christmas, put in our 2 weeks, and then we started officially as real estate agents here in the Phoenix area on January 1st, 2015. Oh, and then that same year, we started flipping houses later in the year, and since then, it's just kind of been a crazy whirlwind, but it's been an amazing ride. We've been able to really intentionally build this incredible community of people around us, and we're just so blessed and grateful for all the hard work it's taken to get to where we are now.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. As someone who loves classes and courses and just learning in general, I love that he went and bought a textbook and came home and was like, I'm doing this. Like, that's awesome.
Oh, he straight up did it. And he actually went to the first class without me. So he went to the first real estate course class without me. He said, babe, I want to do this. And I was like, okay, go ahead. And he came home that night and he was like, you have to do this with me. You have to quit your job. We have to go. We have to do this together. This is what we're meant to do. And I said, okay. So I was all in. But he's not risk averse. But he's a very level-headed thinker, and that was it. It was a very pivotal moment in our relationship. It was kind of really fun to take the leap with him as it is.
Yeah. How did you make that decision? Was it a no-brainer, or was did you have some reservations?
So it took 4 months to do the classes, right? So it wasn't like an immediate decision of leaving the stability of our corporate career. But I mean, the instigating factor was, you know, you're doing the 9-to-5, you're doing the grind, and at the end of the day, somebody is always going to be telling you what your time is worth and when you can go on vacation and when, you know, you can be sick. And it's just, we just wanted that freedom and that flexibility. And we found later on that that's all an illusion when it comes to being an entrepreneur. But now we've been able to be really intentional about the way we built our businesses. And we have a lifestyle that we always dreamed of. We get to come and go as we please. We get to meet amazing people. And it's not without some 60-hour weeks sometimes. But it takes a lot of work, but it's so rewarding. It's so hard, but it's so rewarding. And I think that's kind of like the sentiment among most business owners.
Yes, I totally agree. And I like that you're realistic and upfront about the fact that, you know, there are going to be those weeks that you do have to work 60, 70 hours, and it's okay because there are other weeks when you only have to work 2. And so it balances out. It's just like everything else in life. You have the good and the bad, and but it's all worth it in the end.
Absolutely. And so much of it is being intentional. You know, you can't just like be a victim to the changing winds of the market or changes in technology or social media platforms. Like, you have to be so intentional and strategize the way you're going to grow your business to sustain it for the long run if you ever want one of those weeks where you only work 2 days.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's dive in and talk about some of those systems that you've put in place to help you be able to take time off and not have to work even 40 hours every single week.
So how do we do that?
Yeah.
Is that the question? Oh my goodness. Yeah. So it's kind of, we run 3 businesses. So we have a client, like a service-based, client-facing real estate business. We also flip houses on the side. And then I run a course business. I built an online course that's provided for real estate agents. So that is more kind of an evergreen style business that's running in the background that's very automated. But when it comes to things that you have to be in person for, like a client-based business where you're meeting in person, you're showing houses, you're writing contracts, you're meeting over coffee, whatever it is, that takes a lot of delicate planning, especially in an industry like real estate, where it's a very emotional thing to buy a house. A lot of our clients are first-time home buyers, so they're a little nervous. They're not totally sure on how the whole process works. So it takes a lot of planning up in the forefront of your business to allow for any kind of sense in your schedule. Because what can happen is you can get, and I know not all businesses are run this way, but there are a lot of last minute appointments that can come up in this type of service-based business. In other consulting businesses, you might be able to say, well, I can only, you know, take appointments on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Or you can even say, well, I'll only take appointments over video calls. You know, and in a business where you have to meet up front in person, it just takes a little strategizing. A big part of that is knowing who your client is. So we were able to identify who our client was early on, and that's a first-time home buyer who's working 9-to-5. Okay, great. So what are their times that they're going to be available? And then you just kind of structure your availability around that and take advantage of the free time elsewhere. So we have a lot of late Monday mornings where we're sleeping in. Yes. And getting a slow start to the week. And then we have very busy weekends where we're being, you know, all over town, shuttling clients around, kind of being available wherever we need to be.
Yes.
So it's not, you know, it's very ideal for us in that it's an easy way to structure our week around, but knowing who that client is and what their needs are is the very first step in any of it.
Exactly. And I think that applies to any business, no matter whether it's a service-based business or a product business. Like, knowing your client is going to allow you to structure your time and allow you to structure where you're putting your energy even. So I love that you identified exactly who your client is. And so you know evenings and weekends is when your clients are going to need access to you. And so you've structured your days so that you can give that to them. And I think that's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you're totally right. It's like that just with any business. It all starts with knowing who that client is.
Exactly. Exactly. So whenever you are scheduling appointments, do you use any system or any tool to help you with that? Or is it more manual?
In knowing our client, we know that our clients are big texters, right? So it's largely a millennial kind of demographic. So we're texting. A lot of our inquiries actually come in either through social media like Facebook or Instagram. So we had to get really used to knowing when we need to check those inboxes. I, a long time ago, turned off all my notifications for social media. And so knowing that we get client inquiries through those channels, we have to have specific times when we go in and double check and see if we have any inquiries. And then we also use Google apps hugely. So we actually share an email address. It's kind of like an info app type in email address that we both have access to on our phones. And we run that through Google apps. And not a lot of people understand like how robust Google apps can actually be in a small business.
Oh my gosh. It's so
crazy.
Useful.
We pay $5 a month. It's $4 or $5 a month for a custom domain, and then we can have several different email addresses at that custom domain. And
exactly.
So we broke out all of our inquiries kind of that way so that we get them directly to our phones when they come in. And then we can just kind of schedule from there using Google Calendar. So we have everything kind of centered around Google apps. I cannot touch Apple Mail or iCal. It's just, for whatever reason, I can't wrap my head around it. It's just too easy with Google, but that's what works for us.
Exactly. And I love that you have recognized that one system works for you and one system doesn't. And I know a lot of my listeners, they struggle with either thinking they have to be inside Google or thinking that they have to just use Apple Mail, and you don't. You can use whatever you want. Or if you're used to Outlook, thinking that it's going to be so hard to convert over to Gmail whenever you switch and start running your own business, and Outlook is super expensive. So, I love that you recognize that and picked a system that works for you. And you're right, Google has so many free options. And then if you go ahead and get your email address there, $5 for the custom email, it's amazing. And I love that you're using aliases. I think that is one of the most underutilized features of Gmail is the alias feature.
So robust, and Google just really has so many options. But, you know, you have to invest the time to research what's available there and kind of like cherry pick which features are going to really be some high leverage items in your business. It takes the time. You can't just fall into it. And these things evolve and change so much over time that sometimes, you know, once a year during like our business planning and year review, which is actually this month, we go through and kind of double check and see, all right, what's actually still relevant to us and what can maybe be changed or upgraded. It changes over time, but once you figure it out, it's easy from there.
Absolutely. I actually, every time I get in an app, I'm constantly reevaluating, is this still working for me? Is there something that could be better? And that's just something that I do because I love learning new tech things. But I think it's valuable that you guys pick one time a year and you come in and you evaluate and you say, is this still working for us? Do we need to change? And how do you make that decision?
So it's not going to be a good answer. A lot of it is knowing your metrics. So I am a massive tracker. Like I have to track everything. We track our metrics. We track our leads to conversions to closes. I'm the person that's been tracking what I eat on MyFitnessPal for 6 years just because I like tracking. You have to know what your data is in order to change it.
Yeah. Preach.
It's the hardest habit to get into. Luckily, a lot of the systems that we use have that built-in analytic feature kind of thing going on. Yeah. So it's easy to export a lot of that data and then crunch the numbers later. But if you're looking at your conversions from lead to appointment to, you know, close, you're going to find what's working and what's not. And if you're spending a lot of time in one area, that is a clear area that you need to either eliminate altogether or figure out how to make work for you. We use the Eisenhower method of time delegation. So
do you want to explain that to us?
Yeah, absolutely. It's my favorite tool in business in the whole wide world. Everybody should use it and adopt it in every area of their life. The Eisenhower Matrix is just a way to prioritize time. And there are four main quadrants. If you kind of imagine a cross, it creates four main quadrants. And so each one is do, delegate, delete, and the other one is like, we call it just kind of put off, like appointment. So you can like schedule some items, but the four quadrants are do, schedule, delegate, eliminate. And it's choosing which prioritized tasks or systems you want to keep. You want to schedule time to do later. You want to delegate for somebody else to do, which is huge in scaling, and then eliminate altogether.
Oh, I love that so much. If you paid attention to the workshop that I did a couple weeks ago on prioritizing your tasks, we talked about a similar grid style. It actually came from that method.
Oh, I love that.
I did it a little bit. Yeah, so it's still the same grid, but we do what you like, what you don't like, what you're good at, and what you're not good at. And then that's how you figure out which things you should go ahead and they need to be more higher priority, which things you should get rid of. But if you're looking for some instruction and want some help on that, if you're listening, definitely go check that out. The replay is in the workshop shop for you. But I love that you are using that method for your business. How much does that, like, stress does that relieve by having that grid and knowing where things belong on the grid?
So the most important, like, impactful area that helps you with is the decision fatigue. So I don't.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
You know, you're on my page. So decision fatigue is one of those horrible, crippling, anxiety-inducing feelings that we get when there's just so much to do. I mean, as entrepreneurs, we are so at risk of the changing winds of new tools and advancing tech and new coaches, new courses, new everything. There's always something new to be reaching towards, and it just makes you second guess what you're doing. And what that Eisenhower method allows you to do is just take a look and really prioritize your time and figure out what's urgent and what's important. And oftentimes, as Eisenhower said, the urgent is not important and the importance is never urgent. So it's just giving you that permission to acknowledge that, hey, some of this work I'm really stressing about does not freaking matter. And I need to put that to the side because it is keeping me from what actually matters, which in our case is usually prospecting.
Exactly.
The most important thing a business owner can do is prospect for new business and focus on client retention. Anything else that gets in the middle of that is just noise. So giving yourself the permission to acknowledge that is so important.
Oh my goodness. So on every episode, I actually do give my listeners a little permission slip. And I think that that is the perfect thing for this episode, is to give yourself permission to let go and focus on the most important things.
I love that. It's so important.
Yeah, I completely agree. So, so much. Okay, so let's talk about business tools that you use. So what are the apps or the physical tools even that you use to help you run your business and be efficient and build out those systems?
So as far as software and physical tools that we use, I mean, the iPhone, Google Apps, those are huge. We do use a CRM for lead management. It's real estate specific. It's fantastic. It's very robust. It has texting and email functions in it. It can batch email a bunch of different people. You can tag and categorize leads and clients. I think that's very important for any business owner. Real estate agents get very hung up on CRMs.
Yes, they do. Coming from a family full of real estate agents, I hear this a lot. And yes, they do.
I think any business owner, it's imperative for them to have some kind of a client relationship management tool in place. You have to know who your clients are. You have to keep them kind of in one place, especially if there's an opportunity for repeat business. So part of that is an email list, right? So you need to have either, if you're a products-based or service-based business, that's not, you know, long-term closing like real estate, you need to have those at least in an email list, right? So that's kind of a CRM. But what we use something that integrates all of that. So we definitely have tools for an email list. We have tools for tagging and categorizing leads. And then for day-to-day stuff, we're really big with Asana. I know everybody's into Asana.
Yes.
And then another big thing.
Talk about Asana before, so.
Everybody loves Asana. If you like, I just, before that we used Nozbe. It's N-O-Z-E. It's very similar, but I mean, it's just, Asana is great because it's sending you task reminders to your email. It's popping up on your phone. It's very intuitive.
Yes.
And then we do have a lot of other tools that are very real estate specific. And anytime we're choosing a system like that, we're being absolutely sure that there's a Google API so that it can integrate with our Google, our Gmail, all of that. And then we also really like things that are integrated with other, like Zapier. We'll use Zapier a lot for other platforms that we use. I think it's really important to learn as a business owner. We have to have an understanding of software and how different platforms speak to each other and how to kind of mitigate those environments. So that's one thing that we spend a lot of time in. We really like choosing platforms that work really well together.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And if you've been listening for any time at all, you know that I love Zapier and I love integrations. Okay, so I love that you take the time to actually make sure that all of your tech tools are talking to each other. And I think that's something, it's a new idea, especially in the creative space, which is where I've been most of my career, is with the creatives. And I know like being able to automate things and make different services talk to each other is a new idea for us, but it's so important. So if you had to estimate, and this is a rough estimate, how much time do you think you save by having everything talk to each other versus you having to like manually put it all in?
So it's a compounding activity, right?
Right.
It is.
That's why I love it so much.
It took me probably a year to actually automate our business. And we still like, we're still changing things as we go and tweaking just to make sure things work. But it literally took me a couple of hours every week, nothing crazy, but just to fine tune these systems, learn about it. I did a lot of webinars. I did a lot of YouTube videos just to learn and make sure everything worked. And it took about a year to get to a place where I felt like things were moving very smoothly. Things weren't breaking. And at that point, you start wondering, like, what do you do with your time? It takes so much time to, like, really get a mastery on learning. Not, you have to learn how things work if you don't understand that side of the business. If you don't understand the tech, you need to just kind of have an understanding of how they talk to each other, how different platforms kind of coincide. And then once you spend the time to like really dig in, figure out how to make it work for your business, I mean, it's a compounding activity. The benefits just keep growing and coming. You find more time to then go find more clients or work on this new creative piece that you've been working on, or improve your client experience, or just to hang out. You know, get out of town, spend some time with your spouse who's been wondering where you've been for the last 3 months, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And actually, like, start living the life that you started your business to be able to live. So why not, like, take some steps now so that you can live that life?
Well, here's an interesting thing is a lot of times you'll get stuck in planning mode, right? So you decide, you know what, this is what I see myself living my life. This is the lifestyle I dream of. I'm going to spend the next 6 months to work towards this and try to figure out how to build a business in that way. And then 3 years later, you're still in the trenches and you haven't given yourself permission to get up for air. And you make things a little more difficult for you than for yourself than they have to. And that's where systemizing comes in. If you spend the time to actually implement those systems and automate what you can and then get rid of everything else, suddenly you can peel away and give yourself that time. But it can be kind of pain is addicting sometimes to be like stuck in the planning in the trenches for that long. You really have to keep yourself from getting stuck there.
No, I totally agree. And I think that it's kind of like a badge of honor to wear your busy badge. I call it your busy badge. And it's something I know I have had to break myself of the habit of saying when someone asks you, how are you doing? Oh, I'm really busy. Like 3 or 4 times in my life, I've had to literally cut the word busy out of my vocabulary because I wear it like a badge. Yeah.
So here's what's crazy. Again, we're in a very client-facing business. We started losing business by saying we were busy. Because when imagine how that's coming up when you're speaking to somebody who either can become a great partner of yours or a great collaborating partner, that type of thing, or a client, and they're asking you how you are, and you say, oh, my God, I'm so busy. Oh, so many things. Busy, busy, busy. No one's going to want to work with you because they're not going to want to add to the stress. People feel bad for you. Exactly. You don't want to be busy. It just feels, to me, it just feels unprioritized and disorganized, you know?
Well, and I found that most people that say that they're busy, they're not actually busy. They're doing either sitting there doing things and taking 2 hours to do something that should take you 5 minutes, or they're adding a lot of things on their plate that don't need to be on your plate in the first place.
Like, exactly. Yes.
So I definitely think if you're able to streamline and you go back to your Eisenhower method or use my grid method and figure out what things you can eliminate, what things you can delegate and automate, like get that stuff off your plate so you can start living and you can quit using the word busy, because no one really enjoys being busy, but we all think that that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the American dream, but it's not.
And I'm going to say the unpopular thing. If you're saying that you're busy and you're feeling very busy, girl, you need an ego check, and you need to double check with yourself and ask yourself if what you're doing is actually mattering, or if you're doing the shiny object thing and getting stuck in, you know, the world of busyness instead of running a business.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. 1000% agree with that. Oh goodness. Okay. So you talked to me a little bit about the tools that you're using, and I know a lot of those you guys spend some money on. So how did you decide that it was time to invest in a system that worked really well versus trying to cobble together a whole bunch of free things?
Oh man, I'm shifting nervously in my chair. You brought up the costs. We do spend money. We do invest in our business. You have to play the long game in your business. And if you're not investing for tools that are going to work for long term and that you're going to be able to scale and grow, you will be stuck in 2015 forever. You know, you will be stuck in those beginning stages of your business for years. You have to invest in the technology and the tools and embrace them and grow with them so that your business can help more people, so that you can get your products in the hands of more people. If you're relying on the free versions of you know, whatever platform and whatever tools, whatever systems you're into, what's that saying about your commitment to your business and your clients? That's the way I see it. I will spend any money to take a little more headache off my plate. I have gone through the K-hole of being stuck and trying to like fix inadequate systems, and it's not worth your time. Your clients need you, your family needs you. Pony up, pay the money to get the systems that are going to work properly. That's the way we see it. And I'm really glad that my husband feels the same way.
Yes.
Our baby counts have never been the same, but guess what? It's for the positive.
Exactly. And I feel like once you're ready to start spending on some, even if it's like a $5 service, like it's time to raise your prices too. So you can include all of that in your pricing. You don't have to stay at your low introductory rates for the entire time that you run your business. You need to be raising your prices as you're growing so that you can afford these new services that are going to allow you to grow even more and raise your prices even more. Like I feel like it's a circular effect, and
build it into your costs. It's the cost of doing business. One thing that really bothers me is seeing an additional itemized charge on an invoice for credit processing fees.
Oh my gosh.
If you know that there are 25% of your customers who are going to be using a certain credit card that is going to come with a certain fee that your credit processing system is going to pass on to you, you need to increase your prices by that much. You need to figure out what that 25% of 2% of the cost is going to be and build it into your prices. Your clients will not gawk, and nobody cares. I'm sorry, I'm totally going on a rant.
No, I love this. This is like, yes, keep going.
Nobody cares if you're trying to make a statement by putting on there, Think of the client experience and think of what you're telling your customers when you're passing off this cost onto them in their face. Build it into your cost. That's what businesses do. That's what businesses do in the beginning of time.
Yeah. Just think about if you go into a bakery and they're like, oh, you're using that card. I'm sorry. We're going to have to charge you an extra $3. How do you feel that happens to you? Like, I want to turn around and walk out.
I have.
Imagine if someone's spending $2,000 or $3,000 with you and you're like, oh, I'm going to have to charge you that extra like 3%. Excuse me, what?
How bad do you want that $3,000 check, honey?
Exactly. Versus just charging them $2,500 from the beginning, they won't know the difference.
They won't. And it all comes back to the client experience. We elevate our prices through the client experience. We gain client retention and referrals from the client experience. If you're making it a seamless, if you're removing as many objections as you can up front, it will not be a problem. It's a win-win-win all the way around. I'm very passionate about this topic. I'm very passionate about the client experience because I believe that it's the key to long-term success. And if you're worried about the cost of investing in the proper tools for your business, the tools that you know that you need to grow with, build it into your prices. Or eat it for a while until you feel comfortable to build it into your prices. Because growth doesn't always come easily and growth isn't always painless. And that's okay. That's what we pay. That's what we pay to have those amazing, you know, sabbaticals and days off and worked up about this kind of stuff. Because I support small business. I am a small business owner. I love supporting small businesses. And I think that's part of what makes this country so great because we take for granted how easy it is just build a profitable business in the United States. Whereas in other countries, that's not an option. And so we have to, like, it's our responsibility to do it right. If we're going to do it and we're going to ask people for money, do it right.
Exactly. I want to go back and talk about your client experience.
Sorry.
So I know that you, like, this is the cornerstone of your business, is those relationships and building that experience with your clients. So can you talk for just a little bit? What are some of the more special things that you do, or even like the simple changes that you can make to drastically improve that client experience?
Absolutely. So it all goes back to knowing who your ideal client is, or who your most common or most profitable client is, right? So we know that we have a lot of different customers. We know that we can expect to sell our services to many different kinds of clients, but some are going to be easier for us to resonate with, some are going to be the easier sale, and some are going to be the longer term client, the client that's going to do repeat business with us, or the customer who's going to tell all of their friends where they got that great product. So you have to identify who that person is first, and then you have to gather as much data on that person as possible. And there are some creatives in the community that I'm sure you have heard this too, where they will actually make an avatar, like a client profile. They'll give this person a name. They'll identify what color their hair is or what their gender is or what their interests are, what their occupation is. So for us, we know that we really do well with, we're very high converting with first-time home buyers. They can be single, they can be a newly married couple, they can be just engaged. We get invited to a couple of weddings every year, which is always very fun. And then we just tailor all of our systems around that person. We're anticipating more of those clients, so we're building our business around that for the long term. That's why we utilize a lot of texting. It's not the easiest, and you can't automate it in most cases, but we know that that resonates really well with our clients. We tailor our client parties around that person. Because we're a client-facing business, we love throwing in-person parties at the end of the year and tying it together with a charity event like a toy drive because our people love giving back.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much.
It's a lot of fun. I'm actually in the middle of planning our November party and it's going to be a ton of fun. We do a toy drive every year and we give gifts like koozies or locally made string ornaments, just very cool crafty things. Anytime we give gifts, like a closing gift, when they close on the house and it's move-in day and we're handing over the keys, we get a custom beautiful sign, like wood framed. What are those? The font?
Calligraphy? Like hand lettered.
Yeah, these beautiful hand lettered calligraphy signs with their name on it and established 2018 or whatever the year. We just put a lot of thought into how we can make them feel very special, as if every single client is our only client and we're going to tailor every system around that.
Oh, I love that so much.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
And what's great is a lot of our clients are like us. So it's all the stuff that we enjoy too. It makes it more fun and more authentic. Exactly. I think that's a big part of it. If I were a lot of other agents might give something like I can't say that on your podcast. Never mind. We try to stay very authentic, I guess is my point. So we try to give gifts that feel authentically from us, but we know that they'll really love.
Exactly. Exactly. I think even though you are giving gifts, and it sounds like your gifts are a little more on the more expensive end, which makes sense because they're buying a very expensive property, but it doesn't have to be expensive. You can get a Greetable for like $15 and have that mailed to someone if you want to send them like welcome to the team or welcome to the family little gift just to say thanks so much for signing with me. I am so excited to work on your project or work on your wedding or whatever it is that you were doing for them. Like that just right there makes a huge impact, gets them excited about the project, doesn't cost you much money or time, and you get a huge return on it.
Yeah, another really inexpensive way to do it too is to think about the way you're marketing to this individual. So your voice has to feel very authentic, and your voice has to be tailored to that individual too. So the email newsletters that you're sending out or the Instagram posts or the Facebook ads that you're building out have to kind of be in that same tone and feel very cohesive towards that individual too, which is where that comes through. That's where that conversion really, really comes through, because it's almost as if you're speaking directly to this person and they can feel it and they feel like you understand them and their problems, which is the basis of any successful business.
Exactly. I had one person that I met through a mastermind, and she actually developed her whole entire ideal client avatar. There we go. Trying to find the word. She developed it, and it was like a 4-page document. She knew the person, and she like would have conversations, like talking to herself, but talking to the person, trying to like feel like a friend, so that when she went in to write those posts or those emails, she was writing to a friend already. And it made it so much easier for her to make that all the marketing material, because she didn't have to think about it anymore.
Well, that's one of the most difficult things for any business owner to do is you have to put out so much content, and you have to put so many words out there in so many different platforms, between video, voice, like you're doing with your podcast, or newsletters, or blogs, or social media posts. It's always, you know, the question is, how do I make this a very impactful message, and how do I stay consistent with my brand? And it all comes down to your voice. And if you know your ideal client, that becomes very, very easy. And that's how you extend your brand across all these different channels. You just tailor every single word, every single post towards this person that you've created for your business. And imagine the returns, but that time, that's not really a financial investment. That's a time investment. Imagine what that can return to you over time.
Exactly. 1,000% agree. And I know that it is one of the most difficult things to get really specific on, but if you're wondering where to get started, where would you suggest that they get started doing that research on their ideal client to figure out who they are?
Well, luckily enough, if you have clients, they will tell you. Okay, so or customers, or if you've had any amount of sales in the last year, look at who that was and make little profiles on every single individual. If you're just starting out, this is a really good place to start. Figure out who was the first person to start rooting you along. Figure out who when you make that first Facebook post saying, hey, this is a business I'm starting and this is where I'm going, who were the people that were really into it? Right? Look at those hand raisers, look at those first purchases, or look at the last 20 purchases that you've had over, you know, the last few months, and then start building out profiles from there. If you've never had a sale, and if you haven't even gotten your business off the ground, but you're wanting to be proactive, which you should be if you're in that case, think about like your sister or somebody that you'd really like to do business with, or your best friend from another state that you know loves Etsy shopping, whatever it is you're doing, think about that person and build a profile off of there. The thing is, that will never stay the same. That profile will evolve and change over time, just as your business changes and evolves over time. And it will become more natural and more authentic the more you spend time on that. And that's the beauty of it. It's going to grow, but so will you. And then you'll become more effective. And it just, it's a good thing.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I love that you touched on the fact that it's not going to stay the same. Like, it is going to change and it is going to grow. It's just like your best friend. Your best friend today is not the same person she was 5 years ago. She's grown and she's changed, and mm-hmm. your ideal client is going to do the exact same thing.
Absolutely.
I love that advice so much. Okay. Let's talk about a little bit more about when you got started. And I want to know, have you ever been told that you had to do something a certain way to be successful? And if so, how did it go? Or what did you do?
So we had a very interesting like circumstance surrounding us when we started our business. It was 2014. Okay, the market was just overcoming the worst tragedy in the last 100 years. Like it was a very precarious time to start a business, right? So everybody who was outside of the real estate industry just said we were crazy to give up the security of the corporate salary, the whole thing. So you just have to shut out all that noise to begin with. All the naysayers, you have to just kind of identify whether or not there's any merit and then get rid of those advices. The people that were in the industry, real estate has changed very drastically, just as most industries have with technology and social media over the last several years. And so the game has changed. So for a long time in a lot of industries, it's been cold calling. You have to cold call, you have to cold email, you have to cold go out and find your clients. Go out and find your customers, and you have to be a bulldog about it. We gave up a lot to start this business, and we decided that that wasn't going to work for us. We were going to stay authentic to ourselves, and we were going to kind of prescribe to the more attract and retract method, right? So we knew that if we created a social media following that would help us, at least with conversions, if somebody was searching for our name after they were referred to us and they found hundreds of images and posts from us from our blog and from social media, they could then learn who we are and they could come to us and it would be a warmer conversion.
Yes.
But oh. I just, you know, you have to stay authentic to yourself. I wasn't going to go from one miserable career to another.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. And I think, especially for those of you that are still in your 9-to-5 and you're doing this as your side hustle, I know that you are struggling with feeling like you're never going to make it and you're never going to get out. But if you build your business from the ground up and you stay true to who you are, that's going to start giving you more energy. And eventually you are going to be able to leave your 9-to-5 and you are going to be able to take your business and run with it and make it amazing and fit and feel perfect for you. Oh, I love that so much. And I love that you guys recognized early on that people are saying that this is how you do real estate. And you knew that that wasn't the only way that you could do real estate, that there was a better way and a different way, or at least that you wanted to try a different way.
So, I mean, for us, there was a difference of playing the long game, right? So we had a lifestyle that we were trying to achieve. We want to be able to travel and come and go. And at some point, we'd like to start a family. Now, we've sacrificed the family part for a while as we're building a business.
Yes, as we all do.
Yeah, of course. But I wasn't about to sacrifice who we knew we are. I mean, you have to stay authentic to yourself. That's the most sustainable option. You have to play the long game and you have to do what you know that you're going to be able to stick with. And that's how your business is going to last into a business that is going to pay your bills, pay for your kids' college, pay for your retirement. That's the game, not looking for that quick sale just because it's quick.
Exactly. Exactly. So we all started our businesses to have a better life and a different life, and really staying true to who you are is going to help you get there. And like you said, make it sustainable for the long haul. I love that. Okay. What was the best decision that you've ever made for your business?
Saying no. Oh my gosh, learning how to say no and when to say it is a game changer. You guys, if I can share anything with your audience, it's that there are poisonous people out there and they will destroy you if you allow them to. And I know that sounds really tough, but if you've ever been in that situation, you know how true and how toxic of a situation that can become. And you are worth so much more than just trying to get that easy sale or trying to close that client just because you know you can. No, if somebody is abusive or if somebody is toxic or if they're just not in line with your values that you've established as a business owner, let them go. It is okay and it is not worth the headache. I will say no to somebody so quickly if I know for sure that it's going to cause too much stress on my marriage and myself. I'm worth more than it. And I guess we're in a different situation too, since we're married and running our business. We have to be very protective of our relationship and of our time together. And there's not a lot that I'll risk coming in between that.
Oh, I love that so much. So much. And I know that working together as spouses is something that I don't think everyone can do. And I think that's okay. Like, you don't have to, but I love how you guys are making it work.
It's one of those questions that we get asked often, you know, oh, I could never work with my husband, or I could never work with my spouse. And we really enjoy our time together. We met in corporate finance. We met, it was a workplace romance, as you could say. And we started this because we wanted to work together. We love sharing a goal and working towards it. And I think it's made our marriage even stronger over time. It's a very unique blessing. It's really cool to be able to like share that with your spouse. And it's been a lot of fun. It's not without its trials, but it's, you make it work and it's cool at the end of the day.
Yeah. And honestly, like any partnership is going to have some ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And any marriage is going to have some ups and downs. And so it's just how you navigate that, how you communicate through them. And
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
So and that, true.
Exactly. And that you, at the end of the day, you both still want to make it work. Like that, if you both want to make it work, you'll make it work. So
it definitely makes those late nights and weekends a lot easier, because if he was just running this business, I would be like, where are you?
Yes.
What are you doing at this time of night? I wouldn't understand it, but it's nice having that support.
Yes. Oh man. Yes. Totally agree. Okay. Last question for you in like the interview part is, what is one piece of advice that you would give to someone that is on the edge of burnout?
Tell someone. I think a lot of times when we are feeling like we're going to burn out, or we're feeling that fatigue and that, for me, I'm coming out of a horrible case of burnout this year. I just put too much on my plate and I went too fast for too long. And it's been really difficult for me to come out to the other side. And what I found was, you instinctively want to internalize that feeling. There's this general consensus, I feel like, that you just have to be, if you're a woman or a man, you have to be Wonder Woman or Superman. You have to be able to take care of everything that falls on your plate. And at the end of the day, we're human and there's kryptonite surrounding us on every front. So telling somebody and getting help, getting some assistance, maybe even hiring a part-time VA to delegate some work to, so that you can get some rest. It's worth that investment to take care of yourself. But you have to start by being honest with yourself and telling somebody that you trust.
Exactly. And I love that you recognize that that is what helped you be able to come out of that burnout, was talking about it and getting some help. Because if you are on the edge of burnout, you're not going to be able to fix it on your own. Like, and I want you to hear that, not to scare you, but to let you know that you do need some help. And there are people out there that love you and would love to help you. You just have to say something and let them know. And
I love that you said that too, because like, why would you do it alone when you can do it together with somebody else who cares about you? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's it's so cliche as us as entrepreneurs, we want to just go it alone and go on that solo path. And it's like, well, wait a second, we live in 2018. We're in a very connected world. There's no reason for that. Just bring people in.
Exactly. And I still feel like we have this, especially with everyone that's on Instagram, it's getting a little better, but it's still very, feels a little fake and like curated. And not everyone's life is perfect. In fact, no one's life is perfect. And everyone has those moments of doubt and feeling like they're not good enough and feeling like they're doing too much. And it's just, none of it is working. And it's okay. Like, it is all right to take a step back. Mm-hmm. It's all right to say, help, what I'm doing isn't working. What I'm feeling is this, like, I can't keep going this way. And I know I mentioned to you before we started recording the episode is that I haven't seen a therapist all year and it has changed my life. Like
game changer.
Exactly. I remember talking to my husband a couple weeks ago and I was like, I don't know why I didn't like reach out to someone earlier, like a year or 2 years ago instead of just a year ago, because yeah, we just, whether it's personal life or business stuff, you need to get some help sometimes and it's okay to do that. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Our business can only be as healthy and productive as we are. So it all has to start from within. And like for me, if I don't get, I know that if I'm not getting a good workout in 5 days a week, I will be useless. I really like being active. I like getting out of the house and I work from home. So it's so important for me to know that I have to delegate that time to myself and work out, sweat it out for an hour, whatever it is. Just to stay in that healthy frame of mind. I love cooking, so I know it's really important for me to try a new recipe every week or, you know, try something new that'll inspire me and allow me to be creative outside of the workspace. And doing that helps me maintain such a higher level of creativity and productiveness. But you've got to give yourself that time, you know, whether it's therapy or working on self-help. I think everybody should do therapy, first of all. But beyond that, doing your meditation exercises or getting active in the gym, you've got to figure out how to get yourself into the best place as often as you can, because that's where it all starts, or else your business will stay where you are.
Exactly.
Plateau is right where you plateau.
Exactly. Oh, I love that so much. Okay, let's do a little bit of this or that. So I just ask you to pick which one you like, just to get to know you a little bit better. So early bird or night owl?
Oh, I'm such a night owl. My husband is not a fan of my night owls. I'll be up until 1 a.m. every night if I can.
Yes. Oh my gosh. When my husband's out of town, it's like 2 a.m. and I'm like, I should probably go to bed. Like, I should probably go to bed.
Yeah.
Go to bed. And then he comes home and it's like 9 o'clock and he's like, are you ready to go to bed? And I'm like, it's 9 p.m. What? No.
Bryce keeps me in really appropriate parameters for my sleep. So it's nice.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely better when he's home.
Yeah. Ditto.
Yes. Okay. Coffee or tea?
I like both.
Me too.
Sorry. I can't choose. I gotta do both. I like tea for its health benefits. I like coffee for its caffeination benefits.
Yeah, yeah. I go back and forth on whichever one I want based on my mood. So, yeah.
That's a good way to do it. Yeah. You gotta feel it.
Exactly. Okay, red or white wine?
Oh, man. See, that's a tough one, too. Probably red.
Do you have, like, you drink white certain times and red certain times?
So white is more of an indulgence for me because somebody told me at one point that red was healthier. So I'll just gravitate towards red wine, but I really do enjoy it. So I'd probably say red, but I do love white as an indulgence every now and then.
Okay. Gilmore Girls or Friends?
Oh man. Gotta go with Friends.
Oh man.
I know. And I didn't even watch the new Gilmore Girls season that came out. Don't tell anybody. People are going to
feel like we can't be friends now because, like, you need to watch that.
So I loved Gilmore Girls growing up, but my sister is 10 years younger than me, and she's recently, like, in her teens, she's gotten really into Friends.
Yeah.
So now that's been a really fun way to, like, reconnect. So right now I'm all in Friends just because I can share it with others.
Oh, no, I completely understand that. I know I grew up with when Friends was still on TV, and I remember, like, running in, and we got to watch Friends tonight.
My mom wouldn't let us watch it sometimes.
Really?
I feel like there were some racy episodes that she was like, I don't know about this.
Oh, there definitely are. My parents were like, you're good. Talk about it and you're fine.
Love it.
Okay, city, beach, or mountains?
I love a city because I love food, and food is in the cities.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I'm a major foodie.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
My husband and I were talking about possibly moving somewhere else than the Bay Area. And I was like, but we can have Thai food one night and Italian another. And, like, literally any country, we can go eat their food with a, like, 10-minute drive. And nowhere else can we do this.
Phoenix is really, really impressing me with their food scene, and they're just exploding right now. So it's been a lot of fun the last several years to, like, indulge, but every year we'll go visit a new city as part of our vacation and just literally eat and drink our way through the city. It's just a week of gluttony, and it's the most amazing week ever.
So what's your favorite city?
Oh, gosh, don't judge me, but I love Portland. I know we've been to the Bay Area so many times. I actually lived in Tahoe for a while, so I'm very well acquainted with that area.
Yeah.
But Portland was so beautiful when we went. It was this beautiful city, the architecture and the beer and the food and the walkableness. Like, it was great being in a walkable city. But I also, you know, I love New York and Chicago.
Yeah, I haven't been to Portland yet, but I have this feeling that I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know, and it's like a short drive, and it's only like an hour flight. Like, I'm working on it. It's in the plans.
We'll all go. Let's all go back to Portland.
Yes, but I have a feeling that it's going to be a city that I just completely fall in love with, and I think this is probably why my husband's like, we shouldn't go there yet.
It's funny because it's a complimentary, like, it's very complimentary to the Bay Area. I think you'd really like it.
Yeah. I, like, my only worry is that it rains a lot. And since moving here, like, I need the sunshine. Like, I didn't think that I had, like, any seasonal affective disorder at all, but I'm pretty sure I do have a mild case of it. 'Cause when I go home in the winter and it's like gray, home to Missouri.
Okay.
Where my parents live. And it's gray and dark and, like, the sun never comes out. I get really cranky and really upset.
That's crazy.
Yes. And I didn't know that this happened to me until I moved here, and it's sunny every day.
So I realized, it's so funny that you bring this up, because I realized that I do get seasonal depression. So I'm native to Phoenix and I've been here forever, but I lived in the Reno, Tahoe area for some time, and we had these beautiful seasons.
Yes.
And when I moved back to the Phoenix area, I get so cranky and depressed in September and October. This is not a good time for me. I need to be out of town because it's still 105 degrees and I want my pumpkin spice lattes.
Exactly.
And it's too hot.
Yeah.
I'm so ready for fall. I love, like, that drizzliness. I love the fall colors. I love cozy temperatures. And it's, like, basically still as hot as the sun here. It's very difficult for me.
Oh, my gosh. My grandma lives just outside Phoenix, and so I come there a lot. And I'm actually planning to go there in a couple of weeks. And I was just like, no. Yes. Yes. but I was like, so should I bring my summer clothes? Or I don't know. I don't know what to wear in September, October.
Leave the bras at home. Bring all summer clothes. Don't even bring, like, any shoes other than flip-flops.
Yes.
Bring a sun hat.
Yes.
It is too hot for anything else. Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm trying not to complain, but it's, like, very, very hot right now.
At this point, when it's been, like, 100-plus for, what, 3-4 months now, like, you're over.
Yeah, it'll be in the hundreds until October.
So we were there Thanksgiving last year, and on Thanksgiving Day, it was, like, 95. And I was like,
This last Thanksgiving was horrible. It should be cooler this year, though.
Yeah.
You should be good.
I don't know.
Weather is Stephanie.
Oh, man. Okay. Dogs or cats?
Dogs. I have 4 rescue dogs, but we're not crazy because one had puppies.
They're so cute, guys. If you like if you love dogs, you need to go look at her Instagram because they're so cute. And did you put the shoes? Did you save that on a highlight?
Oh, my friend, you know we got those shoes and put those on all 4 of the dogs.
It was so
it's so hot in Phoenix here that the asphalt can be almost 200 degrees. And one of our dogs has a little bit of a weight problem. She gets it every summer because she gets a little lazy. They can't be outside because it's too hot. So we thought, okay, let's get her the walking booties so that we can take her on walks and, you know, make her feel a little more active, make her feel a little better. And when you put those walking shoes on dogs, it is the most hysterical thing I've ever seen in my life. And we've had them for 10 years and they're just like crazy little animatronic dogs. It's hysterical.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny to watch. So funny. Oh man. Okay, yoga pants or dress pants?
Yoga pants. I made a rule a long time ago that my ideal client was going to be okay with me showing up in yoga pants. And sometimes, guys, I look nice, my hair is done, my makeup's done, but your girl is in yoga pants and you've got to be okay with that.
Yes, absolutely. I'm definitely wearing yoga pants right now.
I couldn't even tell.
Okay, books or the movie/TV show?
Oh, I'm insatiable when it comes to content. I'll read anything. I listen to audiobooks. I listen to podcasts. I am obsessed with Netflix and Hulu and Prime and, you know, everything else that comes along with that. I would have to say what brings me the most comfort is reading. I was like a huge Harry Potter fan growing up. I did all the books. I did all the Twilights. I love fan fiction, like all of that stuff. So I think what brings me the most comfort is reading. And I also really love reading business books, but I have to keep myself away from it because that's too much, just too much in my world. I need to have a little, you know, release.
Exactly. No, I'm the same way. I can't listen to audiobooks that are business, because it's just too much business all the time. And I had to stop listening to business podcasts for a while because I like couldn't shut my brain off.
Yeah. Once a year I have to like purge a little bit, but Bryce always laughs at me because when I'm running or at the gym, I'm almost always listening to like Tim Ferriss or Amy Porterfield or whoever. I'm always listening to these great business podcasts, and I love it. And it's so easy because it's a secondary activity, which is why they're so successful.
Yes.
It's just too easy to listen to, but every now and then I do have to purge.
Yeah. Whenever I'm like, I have so many episodes to listen to, I'm like, okay, I got to get rid of some of these shows. Like,
so I started a little side rail. I guess I would have to say podcasts might be a close second. I love true crime. And it has become an amazing outlet for me. I love listening to true crime. It still feels like kind of serious and it doesn't take me too far out of like the present moment, but it's also very entertaining.
Yes. It's like watching a TV show, I feel like.
Yeah. Just a horrible, you know, descriptive, gory TV show.
Which, I mean, I'll be really honest. I kind of like those shows.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Oh man. Okay. So tell us what is coming up for you in the next like 3-6 months. What's going on?
So I'm working on expanding modules for my course. I have been running my online course for real estate agents since the spring. And I created this digital course for agents because there's just such a lack of education for real estate agents. A lot of people that get into the business, and everybody knows an agent. When you get into the business, you think, oh, it'll be, you know, easy. It'll be great. Flexible schedule. Awesome. Easy money. And there's actually an 87% dropout rate in the first 3 years of real estate agents. And it's agents that just don't have access to the education they need, or their brokerages don't have the resources available to teach them what they need to learn in order to run a profitable business. And it's actually very expensive to become a real estate agent, so you want to make sure that those investments are made wisely. So I started my online course, The Real Estate Method, to teach real estate agents how to systemize and grow a scalable, profitable business that will be, you know, for the long run. And I'm working on expanding that. I'm working on a launch coming up in the next month or so. So if you guys want to check that out, you can follow me on the socials and you will definitely hear about it there. And otherwise, we're just always looking for another house to flip and another client to serve.
Yes. Oh, I love it so much. I will put a link to that course in the show notes for you guys, so you can check it out if you're interested. And then also we'll have her Instagram and other social media handles, so you can check those out as well. So speaking of social media, what is the best way to get in touch with you and connect with you off the podcast?
So our main platform is Instagram, and it's at Bryce and Stephanie. And my name is spelled with an F, if anybody was wondering. But you can find us there. That's where we share our flips and remodels. That's where we share business tips for other entrepreneurs and real estate agents. We try to keep the platform pretty multifaceted. So I think there's something good in there for just about everybody.
Oh, for sure. There is. I absolutely love following her on Instagram.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on the show. I guarantee everyone got something out of this episode. It was amazing. I just love it so much. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a great time.
Yay. All righty. Thank you, Stephanie, so much for being here with me today. I can't believe how much information we've learned about how to create those sustainable systems. Now I want to give you your permission slip. So your permission slip is just to let go of the busy work and focus on the most important things for you and your business. So again, your permission slip is, I give myself permission to let go of the busy work and focus on the most important things for me and my business. And Stephanie talked a lot about letting go of the word busy and actually creating those systems that are important to you and can let you do the things in your life that are important. So that is your permission slip. Head on over to burnoutproofyourbiz.com to download your permission slip, read through the show notes, and learn how you can connect with Stephanie. If you love today's episode, I would absolutely love it if you would head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. These reviews allow me to continue producing content for you each and every week. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.